CCB General Session to order. And I think most of us are probably full and all of that, but you're going to have to just, you know, suck it up and all that. So just a couple announcements before I turn it over to this evening's presiding officer. I want to recognize a couple of guests. One you're going to hear from later. Tremendous guy. You'll enjoy him. Second Vice President of the American Council of the Blind, and many of you know him from the BITS group, John McCann. That's from Tucson, Arizona. It'd be better if I said Winslow, Arizona, wouldn't it, though, you know? Okay, and our other out-of-state guest who has been here before, I don't know whether I should say he's from Spain or Portland, Oregon, because it seems like he spends as much time in Spain as he does in Portland. Michael Alvarez. Let's hear it from Michael. Okay, so want to make one other announcement. This is a notice in accordance with Article 10 of the Constitution. I will entertain a motion as the first item of business after the invocation on Sunday morning for a board removal in the item of Charles Navarrete. So we will do that first thing as the first item of business on Sunday morning. Okay, now I will turn the mic over to this evening's presiding officer. Our first vice president, this will be his last time in this chair, at least for now anyway. So let's hear it for the long-standing first vice president and convention coordinator, Eugene Lozano, Jr. And there you go.
Good evening, everyone. I hope you've been enjoying the convention, and the remainder I think you'll find to be really rewarding. We're going to have a pretty full Friday evening, no surprise. A lot of it's business of the organization, followed by the elections. So, the first thing I wanted to find out is, are there any announcements anyone would like to make? Charlene, I recognize you. And if we can get a mic to you, please.
What I want to announce is at the Guide Dog Users Luncheon, we have a treat for all the dogs that show up. So the only way to get that lovely treat of some lamb jerky is to bring your handler to the Guide Dog Users Luncheon.
Thank you. Any other announcement? Peter.
So one way to bring your handler to the Guide Dog Luncheon is to purchase Guide Dog Luncheon tickets, which are available at the CCB registration desk. We also have banquet tickets that are available. And that's it for tickets. I really appreciate everybody's purchasing meal tickets. It really helps defray the cost of the convention. Thank you very much. And one other announcement is I would encourage everyone to please check out the exhibit room tomorrow morning. The exhibitors would love to see you. Let's fill that room up with interested people. We have some great exhibitors. So please check out the exhibit room. It opens to the public at 9, and it's open till 2:30 in the afternoon. Thank you. It's in Oak Sea.
Any other? Okay. Is that an actual dog? Okay, well trained in terms of on how you can get them to bark and okay. This is the time where we have a remembrance of the passing of our members since the last convention, and so that people could come up and inform us, tell us of the passing of one of our members. And I'm going to take the liberty of mentioning one of our longtime members who passed on February 28th, Tom Carnes, in Oceanside. I got to know Tom when he was living in San Francisco in the 80s, when I was working on detectable warnings and transit issues. Tom reached out to me and said, we needed to get this in Muni. And that started a working relationship. Tom was an incredible advocate for access and a lot of other issues. He was also a mentor to a lot of people who were in the process of losing their vision. And Tom was a resource that I could tap over the years. And he brought us some interesting speakers. He brought a scientist from UC San Diego, one of our conventions, to talk that this researcher was doing blindness research on where some of us who've lost our vision still sometimes sense we're still seeing. And this was a researcher that rarely ever did any presentations outside of conferences for professional scientists in his field, and Tom got him to agree to come and talk to us. So there may be some people from San Francisco who might want to speak about Tom, but it's a great loss. Thank you. Who would like to be the first person? I think I hear Mitch Pomerantz. Well, we'll give Mitch, and then people raise their hand, and you guys take a look. And yeah.
Not on. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we lost a gentleman in the past couple of months who I'd known since the first day I joined, or one of the first days I joined CCB. We lost Richard Harmon. Richard was a true pioneer. When Systems Development Corporation decided that blind people could become programmers, Richard was in the first class. Richard worked for Southern California Edison and for LA County and I forgot the other organization or employer he worked for, but yeah, Beacons. Richard and Ellie Mae were leaders, not in the sense of running for office, but in the sense of living what it means to be a member of the California and the American Council of the Blind. Richard and I could talk sports. We could talk a lot of things. I remember during the Rodney King upheaval of 92, Richard and Ellie Mae lived on 12th Avenue in South LA, and I was scared to death because they were right in the middle of it. And I called them. And I said, are you guys okay? And they were. They were strong and they were survivors. And Richard will be truly missed. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you. My name is Pete Romero. I would like to announce the passing of a dear friend and former coworker. She was a member of the Berkeley chapter, I believe, many years ago. March 18th, we lost Linda Amate. She was really a helpful person. Whenever she'd see you at the conventions, she was more than willing to lend a helping hand. If I looked lost, which is probably I was, she was always there to lend a helping hand. So I just wanted to make sure that we remembered her today. Thank you.
The guys are getting around. Welty.
Frank Welty?
No. No. There's one mic. There are two. Well, we should have one mic going around right now.
Frank Welty? When a tree falls in the forest, do people notice? And the answer is, if it's a really big tree, you do. About a week ago, one of the great oaks in the forest of CCB fell. That was Winifred Downing. It didn't come as a complete surprise to us because she was experiencing the wear and tear of age, the result of a life well lived. Winifred Downing was an inspiration to many of us. She was a leader for many years in this organization, in the San Francisco chapter, and in CCB and ACB. She was a teacher. She was a mother, a grandmother, with a loving family. She was a person of faith. She was a strong advocate, particularly for Braille. Anybody who talked to her in the last 10 years knew how strong she would advocate for Braille as she saw it. She inspired many of us, as I have just said. We're going to miss her, and we're going to celebrate her memory. Let's celebrate the memory of Winifred Downing.
Is the mic gone to anyone else?
Hello, everyone. Eric Calhoun here. I would like to say a few things. I was surprised to hear upon the death of Winifred Downing myself. I would like for all of us to please take a moment, if you're in CCB, to really, really focus on the memory of Winifred Downing. This was a lady who not only contributed to CCB and ACB, but she was on a magazine that I used to subscribe to that I am thinking about getting a lifetime membership. Many of you have heard this beautiful magazine called the Newsreel magazine. And many of you have heard her contributions of sometimes articles and other things. She also did some stuff for the Blind Californian. And you all pretty much know what she did. Personally, I did talk to her maybe once or twice at a convention, and she always had some encouragement. So this is very, very hard on me right now. But I would like to take this time to say thank you, Wynn. I love you, sweetie. I love you.
Yes, this is Charlene Ornelas. I would like to mention the name of Bob Greenwell. He was a member of the San Diego Braille Club. He died recently, but up until the point, he was too sick to get out and join us. He was very active in the chapter, and his daughter helped us out with a lot of issues that we had, and we unfortunately lost him recently.
Oh, no.
The mic getting to Margie or... anyone else?
Thank you. Couple of things. Winifred, what can I say? I met her for the first time when I joined the Blindness Movement in 1974. surprisingly enough, Winifred and Richard Harmon, I met the same year. Richard and I were in an Opticon training class together in Palo Alto. That's where we first met. And surprisingly enough, Winifred ended up teaching Opticon training through Hadley. And so these two people will never be forgotten. I was always so amazed, especially Winifred, because I knew her since I was in the same Golden Gate chapter with her way back then of the old NFBC. I was amazed at how she did things, taking care of the kids, homemaker. You couldn't ask for any cleaner place. And the ideas of how she handled all of her, you know, not only daily living, that's nothing. A lot of people can do that. But making curtains and drapes and doing all the regular chores that a lot of folks would be so amazed at. And for Winifred, it was just part of her everyday life. And, you know, the best part was I never saw any anger between her and her kids or her kids and her. What a close-knit, wonderful, loving family. It was great. And I will never forget Winifred and being on resolutions with her and all kinds of things. Tom Carnes, I used to do a program on broadcast services for the blind in 1982. That's when I first met Tom. And he was one of my listeners. We used to have a phone-in show, and he would call every week. And he even started a Wednesday night cruise with a guy named Captain Ketch. I still remember that. And we would go over to Angel Island on Wednesday nights in his yacht, and a sail yacht. And he would let us all take turns piloting the thing. Of course, he was right there with us. He didn't trust us that much, the captain. But Tom is the one who arranged all that and really loved getting outdoor activities together and kept a lot of us together as just for a lot of social things, as well as all the serious advocacy work that he did for all of his life. We'll miss these folks tremendously, and I can just say peace to all of them.
Hi there.
Oh, that's a little loud. Something that hasn't been mentioned about Tom Carnes that I think is extremely important is he was a disabled veteran. And I'm proud to have served him at the San Francisco VA until he moved down here. It was a great transition in our lives. We knew each other when I was a kid, and I ended up getting to serve him, and it was my honor. I also want to talk about Winifred. Winifred was an incredible supporter of teachers of the visually impaired. Winifred was a wonderful role model for those of us that are blind. I remember when my son was young calling her, and she gave me everything I needed to know, even telling me my son was in critical condition. He is losing too much weight as an infant. And she was right. If it weren't for Wynn, my son may not be here today. So thank you, Wynn.
I have to say something about Wynn. In 1995, when I became CCB president, Maria Lopez stepped down as the editor of the BC. Now, Wynn and I knew each other pretty well prior to that time. In fact, when I announced that I was going to run for president, she calls me up. I'm on the way home from work, and Wynn calls me up, and we're chatting. She said, "Are you really sure you can do this? You don't suffer fools gladly." And I said, "Well, I guess the fools will just have to get used to me." When I asked Wynn to become editor of the BC, she said, "Oh, no. I don't know anything about technology. I can't do that." I think it took two or three phone conversations for me to convince her to do it. And one thing that Wynn and I had in common, we were sticklers for editing. I still have folks, I'm sure, who worked for me years ago who are so thankful that they promoted or moved on, because I spent a lot of time editing bad writing, and Wynn never tolerated grammatical or spelling errors or poor sentence structure, anything. The BC, with all due respect to past and current editors of the BC, Wynn was the best we ever had. She'll be missed.
Is there anyone else?
Yep. Hi, Jean. This is Leslie. Tom, I have to tell you a real quick story that just cracked me up about Wynn. We were roommates at a convention in Knoxville, Tennessee, many a year ago, and she was just like, I just don't know what to do. It's so confusing here, and I was just like, okay, and I kept laughing because she just cracked me up. So on the way back, we were flying back to San Francisco together, and she said to me, I hate this with a purple passion, and I'm going to these conventions and just, oh my God, the please and thank yous and excuse me and everything. And I just was dying laughing so hard. And she kept going, she kept patting me on the shoulder and pushing me back in the seat and going, now take it easy, take a breath. And I could not stop laughing because she had such an expression, and I'm like, a purple passion. Wow, you know, that's really describing it. You know, yeah, she was not one for swearing. That was her. That was her way. You know, and she was just such a special person. I miss her.
Hi, this is Linda Johnson, and I just want to, Tom Carnes actually was he was a mentor for me. I started the California Retinitis Pigmentosa Support Group in 1988, and I had no idea what I was doing with the group, but I just said I wanted to do this, and he really helped me to understand Robert's Rules of Order and all the different things that would go with a nonprofit, because the RP support group then became a nonprofit corporation. So, and I had enough eyesight at the time. I'd go over to his house and help sort through his resources, and so that I could understand what was out there and available. But he kind of helped guide me through, you know, getting different guest speakers and kind of understanding this whole vision loss piece. So he was a great guy. We have a cabin in Santa Cruz, and it was built by my great-grandfather in 1906. And he and Helen came over, and all I can remember is Helen hugging all the redwood trees. But, you know, he had his ways, and he was just an interesting person to know, and I really appreciate how he guided me.
Hi, it's Linda Porrell. I met Winifred rather late in her life. I moved to San Francisco in 2005, and I decided to go to the San Francisco chapter over the Golden Gate because I had read Wynne's name in the Braille form. I was a member of Bay State Council before I moved. So I thought, what a beautiful name, Winifred Downing. What kind of a person is she, I wonder? So I went to the chapter and was warmly welcomed by her immediately and quickly recruited for the what she started, something called the Good Neighbor Fund, which eventually evolved into the grant we have now, the Student Education Access Grant. So she got me on that committee. A year and a half later, she got me elected president of the chapter. She took me to CCB, got me on the nominations committee, the resolutions committee. And then when I ran for the board, she was the only person that night to speak for me and help to get me elected. So I feel truly mentored by her where CCB is concerned. On a personal level, Winifred was a staunch liberal Catholic in the very best sense of the word. She would say a naughty thing now and again. One of my favorite things that she'd say was, and my apologies to people with a different moral sensibility, she said, "That Bill Clinton, I don't care how many women he slept with, he's still a good president." Another funny Wynne story was that she was so devoted for Braille, and she got it into her head that UEB was entirely, should responsibility for it should be entirely laid at the feet of Joe Sullivan at Duxbury. She thought he was the devil incarnate. She was just so wonderful. One of my favorite afternoons with her at her lovely home was when I brought my best friend from Boston to meet her, Kate Crohan, who's very active in the teachers affiliate of ACB. So they talked teaching, they talked cooking, they talked knitting, they talked church, and both of them forever and ever thanked me for putting them together. And it was such a delight to watch them interacting. And I will, with Frank and some others, be attending the funeral mass on Monday morning. And the family has hired a bus to transport many of us from the church to the site of the reception. That's how much they care about our community. So I love you so much, Winifred. Rest in peace.
Okay, this is Robert Wendt. One of my first experiences on the Resolutions Committee was sitting with Winifred, and she was going through every single letter almost. But it taught me a lot about paying attention to what was going on in the room. And a couple years later, Resolutions, it was about 2 in the morning, had been the second night of who knows what hours, and Winifred was still there. And I'm sitting there thinking, I want to go back to my room. But I'm not going to let this woman leave after me. But it taught me a lot about just that level of commitment. And I think it made me a better member on that committee.
All right, this is Gabe Griffith, and I've got to talk about when I first got involved in Resolutions. She, as so many others have said, was such a stickler for where the commas go and the phrasing, and just she taught me so much, and as I started moving into becoming the chair of that committee, she did so much to help me understand the process of editing a resolution and how to do that stuff, and it was just so amazing having her in those committee meetings. And I've got to say, the quality of our meetings definitely went downhill when Wynn resigned from that committee.
This is Vita. I just wanted to say that I'm so happy this is being recorded because I'm going to give this to her family.
This is Steve, and I frankly, unfortunately, never really got to know Winifred well. I admired her from afar through mainly her work in the Blind Californian, and also just that she was a tireless Braille advocate, and I'm very passionate about Braille myself. And back in the early 2000s, when there was talk of UEB, we had heard about this other system called NUBS, the Nemeth Unified Braille System, and very little was known about it, and other than the fact that Abraham Nemeth had invented it. And I heard, maybe through the Blind Californian, I frankly can't remember where, that there was this booklet that would explain NUBS, and so I somehow got my hands on a copy of it, and what it was Winifred just tirelessly, painstakingly, very... just with a lot of attention to detail, explained the system, gave examples of it, and what's that? Yeah, succinctly, and I just always have to be grateful for that, and I'm sorry I never got a chance to thank her for that, because even though NUBS was not ultimately chosen as the way forward for Braille in the United States, she made an awful lot of us think.
Wynn and Connie had a deal. There were books that she can get, wouldn't get at the library up there, so she'd call Connie up, Connie would send them down to her, and then when she got done with them, she'd send them back to Connie so she could read them.
This is Christy. I remember when, and I love to hear her talk. She reminded me of Jessica, you know, our Angela Lansbury, kind of her voice, kind of in the way she, you know, expressed herself. And I just thought she was so funny and so cute. But I remember when she experienced the earthquake, and she talked about how the earthquake affected her and how, you know, there was glass all over the place, and you know, it was really a tough time because she her house sustained a lot of damage, and it was very scary. And I just remember her talking about that. But I think, you know, she was so knowledgeable about everything, and just one of the cutest, sweetest, wonderful women in my life.
Hi, this is Donna. Oh God, I know. I heard that back there. Richard Harmon and Wynn Downing both had one thing in common. When Mitch and I shared that we were getting together, they both said at different times to me, "Oh, you're going to have your hands full." are you ready for this? And Richard had just a neat smile on his face when he said that, and Wynn had a really nice smile on her face when she said that, and both of them were absolutely wonderful, welcoming people to me. In resolutions committee, her attention, Wynn's attention to detail, was something I loved. We're definitely kindred spirits in that way. And, you know, those of you who know about resolutions know that, you know, you kind of have to sometimes blow off steam so you don't kill each other, you know, at those, when you're wordsmithing those words. And, you know, periodically, a time or two, someone would say, no, it should be must. And someone would say, no, it should be shall. And, you know, no, it should be may. And, you know, Wynn would be like, just make a decision. Be quiet. We've got to do this. I'm so tired. And, you know, she put up with us, but she was just an awesome force in our resolutions committee. And when she was no longer a part of it, I remember that first meeting, and she was sorely missed. She was just, you know, it was different. A final story about Wynn, very quick. With Braille, you know, she loved Braille, and she would call periodically, Mitch, you need to get involved. Why aren't you doing anything? You have to get involved. If you get involved, these atrocities, and she'd use all kinds of words, and they wouldn't be happening, and you need to stop it. Get involved and stop it. Mitch says, there's nothing I can do. It's already here. And she said, no, you have to get involved. And, you know, she would call regularly and do that. And I'd just hear Mitch saying, it's here. You have to accept it. And she would say, no, I'm not accepting it. And you shouldn't either. But and she never did, as different people said. I will definitely miss Wynn, and I will definitely miss Richard as well. Thank you.
Hello, this is Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker, and I just want to say that I believe that Wynn had a beautiful and genuine soul. I got to know her when she was the editor of the Blind Californian, and she was very committed and dedicated to producing a quality magazine for the organization. I was writing the Career Connections column, and I'd submit an article, and I'd wait for her call. And she'd call me and say, Kathy, we have a few things to talk about. And she would proceed to share in very logical and appropriate detail the points. And I would agree with her because she actually had very good points. And so I learned a lot from her, and I'm very appreciative of knowing her, Wynn. And may she rest in peace.
I'm sorry I never got to meet. She sounds like a wonderful person. I do have one more thing to add about Robert Greenwald, who recently passed, was a member of the CCB and the San Diego Braille Club. He died at 95, but he was one of the first Marines on Guadalcanal and Okinawa. And I would like to have a nice big approval of his dedication to the service.
Hello, this is Steve Fort,
And I was elected president of BRLC in the spring of 2010. And Wynn was the editor of the Brow Rider. And I, when I wrote my, especially when I wrote my first presidential statement, you know, and getting to know me and all that, she was so patient and with her corrections, and I wasn't the most grammatical heavyweight around, but she knew that I really was trying to do my best. And once the article came out, I was congratulated so warmly by a number of people I really didn't expect to be. And I met her when I moved up from L.A., moved up north to San Francisco, and we were both members of the San Francisco chapter from 1982 to 1985, and it was just so good to have her on my side and to have such complete support. I really admire her and have a lot of affection for her, and I share her liberal Catholicism in a sense. And I'll miss her a lot. Thank you.
Those of you who may be interested, Nubs, as they call it, is not really dead. Chris Gray, he's in Missouri now, and I've forgotten the company he formed to try to keep it alive, despite the UEB being formerly the code of choice. But if you want to know about Nubs, get in touch with Chris Gray. He'll tell you how to join his company.
I regretfully have to see that we're behind and to stop. But I have had a request for quite a while for Jeff, President Jeff Tom, to say a few words.
So, So, three quick things. First, resolutions often had a foreign language problem. Wynn never understood a word Jean wrote. But she always said, "Jean, what does that mean? I can't comprehend it. That's total gibberish. But I support everything you wrote." So that's one thing. Of course, Jean didn't understand hers either.
Well, let me comment on that a little bit. Wynn also say, "Is it this necessary? This is too long. This is too long." And then she said, "I don't understand why you need a resolution so long." And then she would turn around and write an education resolution that sometimes was double the length of mine. Now, we both were trying to beat Charlie Hodges. We never could quite achieve that. But Wynn would say, "Well, this is important, Gene. This is just as important, if not more. And we need to have this length in education. Yours doesn't need to have that great detail." Now, and she didn't say that meaningfully, but it just was, as Jeff said, it was just two different passionate people on two different subjects that equally were important. Okay, Jeff.
Second thing, Frank mentioned an oak. Well, there were two oaks that died recently. Wynn, in the world of advocacy for education, and probably the pioneer in the field of education, who many of you knew better than I, Phil Hatlin, who made California proud and really was the pioneer in the field of education for blind and low vision children. And it's really fitting that they died within a couple months of each other, because they were so passionate, and without them, the landscape of education wouldn't have been the same in many ways. So I think that really needs to be mentioned. And finally, if Wynn were up there, which she surely is, she's probably reading the agenda saying, I thought you were supposed to be talking about future conventions. Why are you talking about me?
I would like to see we take a moment out of our of the convention right now to think of these people that have passed. And so a moment of silence, please. Okay, thank you. Before we get into the next agenda item, which is the future of CCB conference and conventions, I would like to see if we can turn it over to Debbie to do a door prize. No objections? First of all, as many of you know, this is my last conference and convention as being the convention coordinator. I've done it for more than 10 years, probably getting close to 12 years. And change is always good. And there's going to be a lot of change going on. And it's been a great honor to have served under Jeff Tom and Donna Pomerantz, and then Jeff Tom as their convention coordinators while they were presidents. And I've also, it's been great, a great experience and helpful to have a conference and convention committee. Most recently, the conference and convention committee has been made up of Jeff Tom, Donna Pomerantz, Peter Pardini, Dan Smith, and Margie Donovan, and Charlene Ornelas. And they've all have contributed in different ways in the success of this convention and some of, and our conventions previously. As you may recall, 3 years ago, when the decision was to go from having two conventions annually to one convention, there was a promise made, and that was that after 3 years, we would revisit what we were doing in the annual convention. And this is the third year. And we've done things differently, and we got positive feedback on many of the things. Some of it, people have, you know, said, let's go for it. And then now the pendulum might be swinging back, going, doing things like we used to in the past. What the Conference and Convention Committee, the current one that will still be in place until June 30th, would like to do is get from the membership those who are present right now and during a statewide telephone conference call, which I'm sorry to say we haven't decided on what that date will be, probably sometime late this month, that we want to find out from the membership what is working, what isn't. And I had sent out to the presidents a few days ago just kind of a few questions, and I'd like to use those, the concepts of those for this evening and will be for the telephone conference call. And the thing was, what can we do to have better conference and conventions in the future? Should we just make small changes to the program and structure, the program content and structure of the conventions? Or should there be a total new approach, basically throw out what we've been doing and create something brand new? And what would that be? And what 3 years ago was a big discussion item, should we expand the length of the convention or compress it? So what we're going to do is Donna's going to help me, and she has a timer, and we're going to give 3 minutes maximum to a person to talk on what they want, using some of the ideas we had, staying focused on that, and give us really definite ideas. And we're open to going outside of the envelope, too. And that might even be, as there's talk about, maybe a virtual reality conference and convention. So we need to be looking at everything. Everything is right on the table. And the outcome of what we're going to do tonight and that call will be put into recommendations to the board. And the board will get those, and there will be an opportunity, of course, for the membership and the board to decide what action they want to take on them. So, again, you'll be given 3 minutes, and I will ask that only one mic be passed around, and that that we do have a volunteer who can go to those individuals. We're going to begin right now. And so if people would raise their hands so that the mic volunteer could get to you. Yes. Yes, please get the mic to Mitch. Okay. No, not this is not a comment.
Thank you.
No. He's not.
This is
No. He's asking for clarification, I think.
I'm sorry?
What are you asking for?
I was just
the talk?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize. I thought you were asking for clarification. Okay, Donna. Start timing him.
Thank you.
Go for it.
This has been a hot topic, as some of you know, with ACB. I believe our convention, just as the ACB convention, needs to get shorter. People, both who are on fixed incomes and folks who are working, can't afford, in the first instance, the money to go to a longer convention, and in the second case, the time away from work. I will submit a proposal for a convention beginning Thursday evening with a board meeting, concluding Saturday evening with the banquet. To save time, I'll put it in writing, Gene. But I will also suggest something that we've done on the ACB level. We established a task force of members, persons representing state and special interest affiliates, and committees. We had a number of meetings over this past year to come up with a proposal that will begin by shortening our national convention by a day beginning in 2017. This should not be a unilateral decision. It needs buy-in from all of the members, and having representation from all of the important stakeholders, I think, will go a long way toward accomplishing that goal. I believe that that's the way to go. We're locked in to a certain number of nights for the convention next year in Woodland Hills, and therefore anything that we propose, as I understand it, would commence beginning in 2018, which means we have the time and the opportunity to bring in folks to participate, put our heads together, and come up with a viable plan that will not necessarily satisfy everybody, but most folks. Thanks.
This is Charlene Arnelis. I think that a combination of the convention would possibly be the better way to go. There are people who cannot afford to come or are being left out. There are people who
can come and are here. In order to get speakers and have a quality conference, we need to have people here. To not leave people out, we could have, because of the streaming that we do through ACB Radio, satellite conventions in geographic areas. A chapter could sponsor it, could, when we're having banquets or dinners or something special, they could have something special there too, some social, some meals brought in, even if it's just pizza. But by having both, we would have, at the same time, we would be able to have the quality of a convention and the quantity of involvement.
I believe that this is Frank Welty. I believe that our conventions have four essential functions. The first function of our conventions is to bring our organization together to conduct business. The second function is to provide leadership training. The third function is to provide education. And the fourth function is for social and community development. To that end, I would suggest in the short term that we use more of our time during conventions for leadership training activities. For example, perhaps we could organize Thursday morning leadership in-depth workshops. Perhaps we could increase the number of tracks that we have on Saturday afternoon. We could also look at using much of our time that's now used for committee meetings, except for the essential committees for conventions such as resolutions, nominating, and credentials, for leadership training in those areas such as fundraising and publications and the like, while using conference calls for the actual business of those particular committees. In the long term, I think we can look ahead to different convention formats. For example, does it have to be at a hotel? Could it be that the economics are such that we might be able to get a better deal by having our meetings at a convention center while staying at a lower budget hotel, perhaps, or even staying on a university campus? I hope. Also, is Thursday through Saturday necessarily the best timing for a convention? What are the economics of hotel night cost? Could it be that if we had a different range of days in the week that we might get a better deal? I don't know. Perhaps so. Would Monday through Thursday be better? Friday through Monday? I don't know, but we could look at that. I think there's a lot of opportunity for change. I think the main thing is we have to be committed to not just doing things because we've always done it that way.
Eric Calhoun, I wanted to chime in on this topic. Tuan Nguyen gave me a call on Wednesday night to remind me about this forum. There were a couple of things that I ended up having to deal with yesterday that caused me to have a major problem, and that was the fact that the hotel did not have the names of the people that were in the convention, such as my roommate, and I ended up having to pay the AAA rate. And then I had to turn around today and go ahead and pay the group rate. And that, to me, is unacceptable. If you're going to pay the group rate and you and your roommate have already done what you needed to do to register for the convention, then the hotel needs to make sure that they give you the group rate and make sure that you do the things that are necessary. The second thing I want to say is that I really, really like what you're doing in the Saturday sessions, which are breakout sessions. Continue those. I will not be able to participate in that tomorrow. I have other things that I'm going to be doing. And finally, I really, really love the two versus one format with regard to convention. However, this has really got to be put out there. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The themes are fine. I personally am thinking very seriously about speaking at one of the conventions, and I have a story to tell. The most important thing that I want to close in on this is that all of you are doing a very good job on the board. Consider yourselves very, very proud. God bless all of you. Eugene, you did a very, very good job. For the next chair, let's do this again. A bigger round of applause, please. Come on.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This might not be a popular idea, but on Sunday morning, you're going to hear a resolution that proposes to move our conventions to an online format. A lot of what I'm hearing here tonight is centered around people taking time off work, cost of travel, cost of the hotel rooms. The hotel room expenses are only going to go up in the future. People are not going to be able to afford the travel. We've had many discussions, as long as I've been in this organization the last 20 years, of trying to bring younger people into this organization. And that's still an ongoing discussion. I mean, let's look at how great our blind students group is right now. If we move to an online format, or barring moving totally online, we really need, maybe shorting the convention, but we need to have an online interactive format. It's great that we've been streaming over ACB radio for the last 10 or 12 years or whatever, but if I'm sitting at home listening to the convention, I'm passively listening. If there's a discussion such as this that I would like to participate in, we don't have a current way for me to do that. All of the people sitting at home listening to ACB radio right now don't have a way to participate in this discussion. We need an online format. So I would really urge this group to think about the resolution that's going to come forward this weekend. It calls on the president of this organization to establish a committee made up of people, representatives from many different areas and chapter or committees of our organization, to look at the feasibility of an online convention. And you know, that's important. We have many things to consider, such as voting and nominating and those kinds of things, but the resolution isn't going to call for an immediate change. The resolution is calling for us to investigate it. And if our board and members are going to be able to make an informed decision a year from now, then we've really got to do some research and find out what the future is going to hold on that. Thank you.
Hi, this is Bonnie Rennie. Those of us who have come to conventions for a long time and have enjoyed the face-to-face interaction, the traditions, the committees, the everything this convention has been, and it's been a good thing, even we have to realize, and we are seeing in front of us, that things are changing rapidly. We're going to have to change. So it's a change in mindset. I think depending on the schedule, it certainly couldn't be longer, as I think we all understand. For example, if the board does not meet on Thursday night, and there is a Thursday night, some of the so-called dead time could maybe used for some of those leadership or chapter input or topical discussions that would have to be structured and all that, so it's not a gripe fest, but using the time that we have even more than we are, and I know it's not easy. I like the tracks on Saturday afternoon. It's been a big improvement. I think Charlene Arnelis made a couple of very concrete, good suggestions, because we are going to have to move more toward using our online, ACB radio, other ways of doing things, and to include all those people who can't come here. She mentioned, like, she didn't use those words, a chapter party, where it would have to be planned ahead, organized. A lot of things will have to change for people to do it, but to host, for example, a Listening Fest and whatever interactive features can be brought into it, and the satellite regional. We used to have some of these seminars, day seminars, in the chapters. I regret that north and south, it's difficult, but what are we going to do? We've seen all the hotel negotiation difficulties, everything. So I think we're really going to have to conference calls, different way of handling almost everything to include more people and to not have these hotel difficulties by doing it another place. Thanks.
Okay, this is Rob Turner, and I wanted to emphasize the importance of technology, and I think if we can get more participants using an online format with interactivity, I think that's great. The other thing I just want to mention is we want to be really careful not to schedule our conventions at the same time as a CTE VH or something like that. So that's it. Thanks.
This is Christy Crespin. I want to say that while I love technology, I love hugs. I love handshakes. I love being able to say, I'm getting together with people that I haven't seen for a long time, and I don't want that part to go away. I want the interpersonal.
Good evening. I am Rick Plath from Southern California, and I want to echo Christy's last comments. The other aspect attached to that, we are becoming, as a society, too isolated. People are becoming more isolated when it comes to online activities. They're doing their shopping online. They're doing everything online. The communication between people is becoming very scarce. People are becoming a lot more isolated. And I'd hate to see, I'm not putting down activities that could go online and the possibility of mingling some of the interactions between people who can't come. But I would hate to see a convention totally go online where people don't come, where it's all over the phone, it's all online. People do not have contact with each other in a personal sense. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
This is Ed Crespin. I agree. We do need to interact with each other. I see it work with blind field services when we're spread all over the state. We really don't know each other's counselors, and we don't interact well. And if we do this with the organization and do it on virtual, it's going to be very difficult, and people will disconnect. I'd also like to see, I like the idea of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I'm taking Thursday, Friday off, but Monday, Tuesday is fine with me too. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and I think the rates for hotels would be less on a Monday, Tuesday as well. The last point I am thinking about is possibly working with some of the reservations and see who have the casinos and hotels and seeing what they could do to maybe take us under their wing. And granted, we might end up with the same hotel day in and day out or year after year, but if we can get a tribe to work with us, and maybe that's where we'll hold our conventions for the rest of our life.
And
we won't get lost because we'll know the hotel.
This is Margie. And I really want to see us continue meeting annually as a convention in person. I've been on many of conference calls, and people are doing two and three things and distracted and not attentive. I was employed where we did VTEL meetings, and everybody was doing their paperwork and halfway paying attention. And there's nothing that will replace the camaraderie of this organization of coming together. We have moved from two conventions to one convention where we might be paying more for a hotel. It's not more than two conventions. We have to convince the mindset of this organization that there's a lot of vitality in bringing us together, even if we have to spend $150 a night for 3 nights, whatever nights we choose, or even $200. It's still less than doing 2 conventions. I would also like to see, this has been a great facility. We all know the transportation nightmares, but it's a very hard facility for us to get together. I thought last convention was great, a hospitality room, even though we couldn't serve alcohol. It was great. We had a way to get together, and we need to commit to that and move forward with that commitment. Thank you.
This is Artis. I like the idea of cutting down the convention by a day, and maybe some of those activities could be done by conference calls ahead of time, or you know, or just moving things around, having more things opposite each other. The breakouts, I think, are fine, but I think they're too long. I think a 3-hour breakout for one topic is a little long. I don't know, I get very distracted one topic for that long a period of time. I think if we cut it in half, and then also, I think we could, when we shorten the convention, we could have some of the things at the same time, like technology, maybe opposite the transportation. I think a lot of the people are different for the two groups. Not everybody, of course. You have to pick and choose like you do now. But I think cutting down a day would help a lot more people be able to afford it. And I also think we could do a better job of trying to get sponsors. I know ACB has really done a really good job of getting sponsors to cover some of the costs that have cut down some of the costs of the different meetings and so forth. And I think if we tried harder to work on that avenue, it might save the costs for a lot of folks.
Okay, my name is Michael Alvarez, and I have the honor, you might say, of this is actually my third state convention in the past 6 months, in 3 different states at that. And one of the things that you have been some discussion about this online issue. You really, in this state, in the future, need to invest, take the small investment of time and do this, and have it so that you can register for and pay for the registration online. In the state of Washington, well, the way they do it, and I believe personally they're the best run affiliate of ACB in the country. And they, what they do is they have it so that you do the form online, and there is a link on that form to PayPal. And you have your PayPal account, and you pay for it right from that account. And I think that the situation that we had this year with Ed Branch really illustrates the urgency that this has to be done. And so I would really strongly encourage you to do this. Thank you.
Hi, this is Vita. As everyone knows, I'm a big proponent of technology. And having said that, there are many conferences and conventions that meet every single year, even though they also have an online presence. Why is that? Networking. There is nothing like meeting someone like I did, Kathy Schmidt-Whittaker, and now we're going to work together on a workshop. I didn't know Kathy at all. I had no idea who she was. But the networking is so important, and the exhibit hall. There is nothing like touching the brown note, right? Touching that cane to see if that's what you want. So I like Gabe's idea of having both. Thank you.
Steve Mendelson here. I think that all of us agree in principle that a face-to-face convention where we can get together and network is a wonderful idea. No one would dispute that at all. So the two questions to my mind seem to be, first of all, can we reduce the cost of that convention and, if necessary, the length of that convention in a way which makes it more accessible to more people without depriving it of the qualities and values that make people want to assemble in the first place? And second of all, can we augment that? And this goes back to an idea that Charlene suggested and that several other people have suggested. Can we augment that in-person presence and contact for people who, despite our efforts to reduce costs, can't come? Can we augment that with technology in a way which is fairly seamless and which allows them to participate and feel a part of things too? I think there are ways that we can. It's not an all-or-nothing thing by any means. Reinvigorating the exhibit hall is also a very important idea because that's a great draw for people. We have to find more ways of incentivizing exhibitors to want to come here. That's partially a function of the number of people, partially a function of the kind of exposure and other things. So there's a lot that we can do, but the main point that I want to leave us with is it's not an all or nothing thing.
Hi, this is Vivian Younger. I feel that in order to encompass a lot of people's needs, age groups, that we need to do a combination of things. So first of all, I'm thinking that we can have an online portion of it. Someone was talking about they're not able to participate. If we plan ahead and we have questions ahead, we can get input from those who wish to participate online. Those of us that will attend the convention, we're going to get our interconnections and that type of thing. The middle ground is for us to, I don't know how to do this, but set up into special interest groups and do that telephonically. Therefore, we're bridging all three types of ways of communicating. So if someone's 90 years old and does not feel comfortable with the computer and never will feel comfortable with technology, then they can get their needs met and feel like they're participating, and likewise for the other aspect. Being a counselor myself, I feel that there's nothing like being in the room with mentors who are standing there, who are living and who are able to say what they need to say. When you sit down and you type it and you receive it online or email, it's a totally different experience. And so I'm suggesting that somehow we blend all three. And finally, I would rather pay a little bit more for a hotel and be centrally located than to have to do, for example, what I had to do. A lot of us are getting older, so in order to accommodate the older part while, entering with other people, younger individuals, I think that gets the job done. I know expenses are high, but what I'm going to say is this. For every hamburger that you eat, you put it aside and say, I'm not going to get that because I'm going to save it up for the convention so I can participate and I can and just really have a great time being around and being with our own. Thank you.
This is Debbie Berry, and I used to like Vivian, but I she took some of my thunder away. But, Vivian, I love you, and I want to get together with you. Anyway, there is nothing like Christy said, a hug. Hi, instead of a hello online and whatever. And until Vivian spoke, there seemed to be people forgot about the whole bunch of people that have no access to computers for whatever reason. When artists, our president posed this question to our chapter about the possibility of having partial or, well, I think she said partial convention online, the overwhelming majority of our chapter said no way. And a lot of them have no access to computers, and we cannot leave these people out.
Hi, this is Beth Berenson, and I came specifically because I wanted to see friends. I haven't been to a convention in many years, and I came just to see, okay, I came to see Ken and PM because I haven't seen them in so long. And I also think of Winifred, and I think of her when she was not able to come to convention. She listened to it, and she listened to it faithfully on ACB radio. The other point is that we are not, no one's talking about, we're all talking about people who are older and don't have access to computers. We need to think about people who are younger and have access to computers, and that's their number one way to communicate. If we're going to be in a room like this in 20 years, we have to figure out a way to get young people involved in CCB. Thank you.
Hello, this is, I'm sorry, didn't mean to get quite so close to the microphone. Anyway, I concur with a number of people who really believe in incorporating all of these different technologies and also doing what we can to include people who are not really computer literate or not going to be. And with regard to the resolution that's coming up Sunday morning to have a totally convention that's totally online, I mean to have the study, I guess it was a study group. They wanted to investigate, but even that, I got total pushback from my chapter members. There was someone that suggested that perhaps something online could serve as a sort of an alternative, like in between the two annual conventions, to keep the momentum going a little bit more that we used to have when we had two conventions. I'm just reporting back to you what my chapter members are saying, and also suggesting that we incorporate a number of different avenues for communication, including an annual convention where we can meet face-to-face and network. Thank you.
It's Margie. I keep hearing throughout this convention about younger people. I came into this organization as a high school student because a Bayview chapter gave me money to go to a Washington, D.C. program with my class. I stayed in this organization as Christy did, as Leslie did, as Susan Mazrui did, now Mazrui, because we are provided with funding to come to the state conventions. Students don't have money. If we want young people, we need to get grants. We need to fund them to attend conventions. We need to fund them to attend nationals like we used to do. Otherwise, this organization will not be getting young people. Thank you.
My suggestion is also on
kind of piggybacks on hers. What about educational credits?
Speak into the mic, please.
Oh, sorry. But what about educational credits? You know, we have these breakout sessions, and what would it take for us to be accredited so these professionals can get educational credits and bring in money?
I have the microphone here. This is Pam Pology. You know, I keep hearing everybody talking about the expense, and heaven knows I'm right there because I don't have gainful employment. But, you know, I think some of us are forgetting when we talk about having one convention a year, we just had two within 6 months. And look at all of us that are here. And, you know, maybe it's not the calendar year because the last one was 2015, but it was only 6 months ago. And I think if we really want to go to these conventions, we can save up, as it's been said. And the next one is a whole year away. We have time. And I just hope it doesn't go away because I have really enjoyed being on credentials and meeting everybody that I wouldn't have had the opportunity to meet. And you guys mean a lot to me, and I hope it doesn't go away. Thank you.
And Pam, you have the last comment. I want to thank everyone. We've run out of time. This is not the last. Again, there will be the telephone conference call, and we will also send out a notice on that date, and we also will send out is the email address for CCB office, so that if you want to send emails to us, you can do so. So there will be other opportunities, and this does not mean those of you who spoke now can't comment. We welcome all the comments from everyone as many times as you would like to. I already see a trend in some of the things that have been said. So, again, thank you very much. And we hope to be able to provide you something by the end of June. Some recommendations to be considered, and that will be brought up during a board meeting. And of course, board meetings are totally open to everyone, and there would be opportunity to talk at that time. So I'm closing that portion of the meeting. Just to give you an idea, we're going to go into the credential reports so that Pam Plaga can get up front, our credentials committee chair, and just alert Debbie, after the credentials committee, we will have a door prize. Okay. Pardon me? I assume you're up here, Pam. Pam, could you? Okay. Okay. I'm turning it over the mic to President Tom.
I want to recognize a couple of people. I hope they're still in the room. I want to recognize the head of Blind Field Services, who's here from San Diego, Peter Dawson from the Department of Rehabilitation. And if I mess up your title, just remember I'm just an old retired annuitant and I'm not worth much anyway. Assistant Chief Deputy Director for the Department of Rehabilitation in the Division of Blind, Visually Impaired, and Deaf and Hard of Hearing, Rosa Gomez. And we're glad Rosa made it down from Northern California for today, and she'll also be here through part of tomorrow. So come see her, talk to them, and it's great that they were both able to come check us out and hear from you. All right, thank you.
Well, While Pam's getting set up, is there anyone else who would like to make an announcement? Okay, let's get a mic. It's just you. It's been a long evening, hasn't it? There's somebody in the back wants to make an announcement while we're waiting for Pam to get set up.
I'm here.
Okay, we'll get the announcement and then we'll turn it over to you, Pam.
Oh,
Are you ready to make to do the report? Here's my announcement. My announcement is, next time you have this kind of thing, don't let people double dip. That way I wouldn't have been cut off at the end. Thank you. My name is Anthony Signorello.
Okay, I'm going to give you my mic, Pam.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank
Now you are.
Oh, I guess now I'm on. Thank you. So I'm going to go ahead and read to you the names of the chapters who were present and accounted for to be seated. I will then read to you the chapters who did not report yesterday, nor have I heard from them since. Okay? So, I have ACB Capital Chapter, President Karen Schroeder, Delegate Margie Donovan, Alternate Joni Patchy, 39 members, 8 votes. Active Blind Inland Valleys Chapter, President Steve Castaneda, Delegate Kelly Hill, Alternate Christy Crespin, number of members 14, and 5 votes. Bayview Chapter, President Steve Ford, Delegate Steve Ford, Alternate None, number of members 5-1, 10 votes. Yeah, you guys don't need to say correct, just correct me if there's something wrong, and I hope there isn't. Braille Revival League of California, it's easy for me to say. President Linda Perel. Delegate is, let's see, I'm sorry, hang on. Rob Turner, alternate Linda Perel. Number of members 10 and 5 votes. California Council of Citizens with Low Vision. President Bernice Kandarian, Delegate Donna Sanchez, Alternate David Keith, number of members are 7-3 and 5 votes. California Library Users of California, President Judy Wilkinson, Delegate Judy Wilkinson, Alternate None, number of members 34 and 5 votes. Contra Costa Chapter, President Joe Isaac, Delegate Gabe Griffith, Alternate Vita Zavali, number of members 10 and 5 votes. East Los Angeles Chapter, President Eric Macias, Delegate is Stephanie Rood, Alternate None, number of members 37 and 7 votes. Fresno Chapter, President Nathan Romo, Delegate Sarah Harris, Alternate Lisa Presley Martin, I'm sorry, Lisa Presley Thomas, I'm doing two things here. Members 24 and 5 votes. Glendale Burbank Chapter, President Artis Bazin, Delegate Artis Bazin, Alternate Anthony Signorello, number of members 19, 5 votes. Greater Long Beach Chapter, President Michael Conrad, Delegate Robert went. Alternate, none. Number of members, 27. 5 votes. Greater Los Angeles Chapter, President Ken Metz. Delegate Ken Metz. Alternate Guillermo Robles. Number of members, 27. 5 votes. Guide Dog Users of California, President Ken Metz. Delegate Vivian Younger. Alternate Charlene Ornelas. Number of members, 5-0. 5 votes. Inland Empire Chapter, President Christine Bailey, Delegate Christine Bailey, Alternate Edel Galvez, number of members 10 and 5 votes. Orange County Chapter, President Andrea Pitzenbarger, Delegate Gail Crossan, Alternate Ariel Martinez, number of members 17 and 5 votes. San Bernardino Chapter, President Deborah Gossett, Delegate Deborah Gossett, Alternate Theodore Gilbert, number of members 3-8 and 8 votes. San Diego Braille Club, President Patricia J. Bogart, Delegate Joseph Lopez, Alternate Patricia J. Bogart, number of members 2-4. 5 votes. San Diego Chapter, President Lee Morton Martin, Delegate Patty Davis, Alternate none, number of members 13, 5 votes. San Francisco Chapter, President Frank Welty, Delegate Frank Welty, Alternate Lorene Theveny, number of members 30, 6 votes. San Gabriel Valley Chapter, President Pamela Apology, whoever that is. Delegate is Bill Berry. Alternate, Phil Obregon. Number of members is 49, 10 votes. Silicon Valley Council of the Blind Chapter, President Susan Glass. Delegate Alice McGrath, Alternate Mike Keithley, number of members 84, 16 votes. Yosemite Gateway Chapter, President Tanya Williams, Delegate Tanya Williams, Alternate Margaret Buckman Garcia, number of members 33 and 7 votes. So those are the chapters that were here last night and reported to me. I'm going to read the ones that I did not hear from that aren't seated. And if there's an issue, somebody let me know. Okay. California Council of Blind Students. Compton Chapter. Golden Gate Chapter, Greater Bakersfield Chapter, Greater Lakewood Chapter, High Desert Chapter, Humboldt Chapter, Randolph Shepherd, Vendors of California Chapter, San Mateo Chapter, and Solano County Council of the Blind Chapter. So before I move on, is there anyone that has anything to report? Yes. Who's speaking? Yes. Hang on, I'm waiting.
Thanks. Okay, you mentioned a chapter. Silicon Valley has 84 members.
Yeah.
With 16 votes.
Yeah.
Should it not be 17?
It should be. 84 should be 17.
I'll make that correction. Anything else? So we have nine, well, eight chapters not seated because I was just informed that San Mateo doesn't have a charter. However, I was never given that information. So with that said, I'd like to ask for a motion for the credit. Thank you, Margie, for both of those. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? And just before I leave you, I usually tell a joke, but I'm not going to tell one this time. What I am going to say, a tidbit for thought, is since we're here and we're all meeting people, as we go through our lives and meet new people for the first time, that's our only opportunity to make a first impression. So thank you very much. God bless you guys.
Thank you very much. Okay, Debbie, are you ready for a door prize? San Gabriel chapter? San Gabriel Valley chapter. Thank you.
Oh, it's a boom.
Yeah, I didn't mean disrespect. $25 in cash.
Ken Berkery.
We'll do another one a little later. Okay. Okay. Next is our CCB legislative report done by Mitch Pomerantz, Governmental Affairs Chair Committee. Mitch, do you need a mic?
I've got one. Thank you. Okay. Just set up this big boom mic. It reminded me of 105 years ago when I worked in radio. You could use this as a cane. All right. This will serve as an update on bills sponsored, supported, or followed by the California Council of the Blind since the beginning of the second half of the current legislative session. Before getting into statewide legislation, however, let me take a moment to acknowledge and thank the members of this year's CCB delegation to the American Council of the Blind Legislative Seminar, which took place in Washington, D.C. on February 29th and March 1st. Besides Donna and me, our contingent included Artis Bazin, Vincent Calderon, Charles Navarrete, Karen Schroeder, who was our first-timer, and Jeff Tom, of course. Of the 53 members of the California Congressional Delegation we had appointments with, 38, and we dropped off materials at the offices of the other 15. You know, given our small numbers, relatively, I think we did a heck of a job. A few of us also met with representatives from Senator Boxer and Feinstein's offices. Donna and I, whoops, are we losing the mic? No? It sounds like we're losing the mic, gentlemen. No? All right, sounds different than it did a minute ago. Donna and I didn't get to either of our senators' offices because we were lucky to have a half hour face-to-face with our Member of Congress Judy Chu, which was really pretty cool. I won't discuss here the four legislative and or regulatory initiatives we covered with our legislators, but instead we'll refer you to the upcoming issue of the Blind Californian, where they are described in some detail. On a bit of a down note, unfortunately, CCB will not be holding Capital Day in Sacramento this year as we'd originally hoped. Without going into detail, President Tom and I thought we had a commitment from a member of the Governmental Affairs Committee to oversee logistics. However, this was not the individual's understanding, and neither Jeff nor I were in a position to take charge. So Capital Day will not be happening in 2016. As I will be leaving the Governmental Affairs Committee at the conclusion of President Tom's term on June 30th, it is my sincere hope that the next committee chair will be able to schedule and hold Capital Day in 2017. Now for a look at this year's legislative agenda to date. Our efforts are focused on a pair of guide dog related bills which are supported by guide dog users of California. The first is SB 1331, sponsored by Fran Pavley, which addresses matters under the purview of the State Board of Guide Dogs of the Blind, the regulatory body overseeing the three licensed guide dog schools in the state. The framework for this proposed legislation came from a CCB resolution the membership adopted in 2013, as I recall. The bill would require the board to be comprised of at least three members who are blind or visually impaired and who use guide dogs, and stipulate that one representative from each of the two major consumer organizations representing Californians who are blind or visually impaired be members of the board. Authorized personnel from a certified guide dog school outside California that previously provided training or instruction to an individual residing in the state to provide follow-up services to that individual for the guide dog for which training and instruction was originally provided. Place those services beyond the jurisdiction of the board. Require the board to prepare a fact sheet regarding its various functions and to post it on the board's internet site. And require a licensed guide dog school to provide copies of that fact sheet to every student receiving training. SB 1331 is scheduled for a hearing this coming Monday, April 11th, before the Senate Business and Professions Committee. The second bill that we are directly involved with is AB 1824, Chang. And that bill would do a number of things as well to strengthen criminal provisions relating to dog attacks on service dogs. The bill would strengthen criminal provisions relating to dog attacks on service dogs. Delete the requirement that the guide, signal, or service dog be in discharge of its duties when the injury or death occurs. Make these crimes applicable to the injury or death of dogs that are enrolled in a training school or program for such dogs, and require the defendant convicted of such crimes to make restitution to the victim for medical or medical-related expenses or for loss of wages as a direct result of the crime. AB 1824 came before the Assembly Public Safety Committee on March 15th and was placed on consent, meaning that there was no opposition. Jeff, along with Margie Donovan, have already met with a representative of the Guide Dog Board and will be meeting with key legislative staff over the next several weeks. We are optimistic about passage of both bills. CCB is also following several other bills of relevance to blind and low vision persons. We are supporting AB 1584, Brown, and Thurmond. You may recognize their names from previous efforts. This bill would establish the cost of living adjustment, or COLA, as a permanent component of the SSI-SSP program and extend those increases over a four-year period amounting to an $84 increase after 4 years. On March 28th, the bill was referred to the Assembly Human Services Committee, but has yet to be scheduled for hearing. We are supporting, with amendment, AB 1797, Lackey and Weber, which would authorize an individual to apply for in-home supportive services, IHSS, in person or through electronic means, and require the county, if an application is filed electronically, to provide the applicant with a confirmation number. We are asking that the bill be amended with language to ensure that, in accordance with federal and state statutes, counties make any electronic means accessible to persons with disabilities and specifically to those with vision impairments. As with AB 1584, AB 1797 has been referred to the Assembly Human Services Committee, but does not as yet have a hearing date. CCB is also supporting with amendment AB 2346, Baker, which would require when an applicant for or recipient of public social services is involved in a fair hearing, a public or private agency to provide a copy of the agency's position statement to the applicant or recipient where electronic means, and require the State Department of Health Care Services to make its position statement available to the applicant or recipient and the State Department of Social Services through electronic means, as specified. We are calling for a similar amendment to this bill, as with AB 1797, in order to ensure accessibility for persons who are blind or vision impaired. AB 2346 was passed unanimously by the Human Services Committee and referred to Appropriations for further action. We opposed SB 681 by Hill, which would have reduced the fine for drivers making illegal right turns on red lights. Fortunately, this bill died in the Senate Transportation and Housing Committee. CCB also opposed AB 61 by Allen, which would have legalized operation of private tech shuttles. Last year we called them Google shuttles, or they did, at certain San Francisco bus stops. While this bill died, Assemblymember Allen revived the proposal as AB 1641, which was to have been heard in Assembly Transportation this past Monday. However, it appears that it was not. At least I couldn't find it on Ledge Info or anywhere else on the legislative web. Last fall, I reported on SB 450 by Roth, a proposal which would permit some counties to conduct elections primarily via vote by mail. I said then that this bill would be taken up in 2016. CCB has been part of a group of disability advocates involved in drafting language calling for those counties conducting vote-by-mail elections to offer ballots that blind and low-vision voters could privately and independently read and mark before a county could conduct such an election. To date, very little has happened to move this bill along, so there isn't anything new to report. Efforts do continue within the disability community to introduce amendments favorable to us, but to date, SB 450 remains in legislative limbo. We've just learned about Assembly Joint Resolution 35, authored by Brown, which CCB is considering supporting. We will talk about it tomorrow afternoon at the Governmental Affairs Committee at 4:15, and hopefully, Jeff, you'll be there. Because in a nutshell, and I will thank Jeff for the layperson's explanation, because I looked at the governmental one submitted by Ledge Council, and you really did need a law degree to understand it. But thanks to Jeff, the explanation I've got here makes a whole lot more sense. It would seek a change in federal policy in order to make SSI recipients eligible for food stamps in lieu of giving them a very few dollars per month. Let me conclude by thanking President Tom for the opportunity to chair the Governmental Affairs Committee these past 2 years. It has been an interesting and most challenging experience. However, for a number of reasons, it is time for me to relinquish this position and to pursue other interests, as the old saying goes. I still believe that the California Council of the Blind can and must remain the strongest voice for bettering the lives of blind and low vision Californians. However, this will happen only as long as we do not lose sight of the mission set forth by our founders in 1934, to serve as the voice of the state's blind men, women, and children through concerted action and advocacy. First, last, and always, our mission must be to represent the needs and concerns of blind and low vision people. We must never stray from that mission or the work CCB members have performed tirelessly for the past 82 years will have been in vain. We must not allow that to happen. Thank you and good evening. Want to take questions, Mr. Chairman?
Yes. If we can get a mic out to the audience. If you could raise your hand if you have a question, please.
This is Steve Bauer. Mitch, could you give us some clarification on the bill you mentioned about shuttles in San Francisco? I hadn't heard about that and didn't quite understand it.
Well, apparently, and some of our folks from the, I almost said from Giants Land, but apparently Google, among other Silicon Valley corporations, last year made an effort. They provide shuttle services for a number of their employees in and around the Bay Area, and they want to utilize public bus stops so that, and those buses, those shuttles are permitted or would be permitted to wait for their designated riders, thus making it difficult for the public buses to make their normal stops and making it a little tougher for blind and low vision individuals to get on the proper bus to go to their destination. So they need to get permission from the legislature apparently to do that.
The bill mercifully died last year, but like a good zombie, has arisen again. And so we're trying to put a stake through its heart once and for all.
Hi, this is Beth again, and I'm really familiar with what's going on with that bill.
Good.
The city of San Francisco and a lot of different activists very, very recently came to a solution, because that is what's happening in San Francisco. And I can't tell you how many buses I've missed because I can't see the bus that stopped behind the bus that's in front of me. So what they're going to do is they're going to designate some pods around the city. So instead of parking in the bus stops, these buses will park in pods all throughout the city, and people can get there either on mass transportation bikes or they can walk. But they won't be using the city streets like they have the bus stops. Some mornings there are like four or five private vans going to Silicon Valley from the city instead of muni buses. It's ridiculous. So I think there might be a solution to that.
Anyone else?
All
right, Gene.
Thank you very much, Mitch. Thank you. We are very honored this evening to have John McCann, our second vice president of the American Council of the Blind, who has come here this evening on behalf of the American Council of the Blind to give an ACB report. So let's give him a big hand. And if we can get a mic to him. It's almost like getting from Arizona here.
Yes.
Oh, we're informal. And there's a mic
right in front of you.
Okay. Well,
it's on a little stand.
Okay. Oh, well, this mic is a lot hotter than the ones that have heretofore been in play. At least that's my sense of it. Indeed, we are in laid-back California, apparently. This is, I think, the first time that I've ever delivered a speech of this nature sitting down. But it works for me. It's truly an honor to be here. I thank CCB and Jeff Tom for the invitation. Always an honor to represent ACB, and particularly before an affiliate with the kind of history that CCB most assuredly has. I want to thank you for several things. In addition to that, thank you for the lack of time change. I appreciate that. Do you realize that 8 months out of the year, there are only three other states that could qualify to provide that to me? Oregon, Nevada, and Washington, I think. Seeing since Washington has their conference in November, at which time Arizona will stay on mountain time, and back goes the whole West Coast to Pacific Standard. There'd be a time change there. I also noted with interest, and you've got the nice program, and there was an insert, sort of a separate thing because it didn't get included. I read the top of it, and it said, "Always feel the warmth." I had flown out of Tucson where it was 85 degrees. I arrived in San Diego and it was 60. It sounded like false advertising. I don't know. Well, two components to this. I obviously want to bring you up to speed on what's been happening in ACB. Basically, it's all good. I'm going to hit the highlights because I trust that as good council members, you've been faithfully reading your Braille forms, and so you're pretty much up on things, but never hurts to reinforce some stuff. Since the last convention, quite a number of good things have been happening. Since I am the board liaison to the Twitter team, and since as Kim once said about me, I'm passionate about social media, I'll tell you that the Twitter account is up to, is in the 1,300 range, 1,311, so we're happy about that. And recently we had 2,010 likes on Facebook and quite a number of other impressive stats there. So the social media presence is doing rather well. I want to see it continue to take that trajectory, and I have every expectation that it will. Apropos of that, I'll share with you that I believe that social media can be a very, very important tool in the toolbox of tools, boy, that's redundant, that you can and should use to recruit members, particularly new young members. Having said that, my point, I suppose, would be that that BITS will be doing a session on how you can use Twitter in particular as basically a membership engagement tool. I'll put it that way, and I hope that folks will consider that. Well, there's been a lot said here today about advocacy. I was very, very pleased to have attended the session where Abby Tamara and Cecilia McGinnis spoke about the advocacy that they had done. Well, there's individual advocacy, as they said, and then there's assisted advocacy, which is where you have somebody going forward with an attorney, because that's what's required. But I think there's another dynamic that we need to talk about, and I'm going to sound like a child of the 60s here, but I do so without apology, mass advocacy. I think it is imperative that we never lose sight of the fact to engage in this kind of mass advocacy, because I'll state it very frankly, the landscape isn't really all that rosy. I joined the American Council of the Blind some 35, 36 years ago, right out of law school, because I was interested in advocacy, because I knew that things really needed to be better for blind folks. Yeah, we had, some successes, and we had this sort of perhaps preferential status and the Social Security law and things of that nature, but there were things on the horizon where we were very much in danger of being left out. I was drawn to advocacy. One of the first pieces of advocacy that I was heavily involved in with a positive result. I was in the state of Virginia at the time, and I worked with the Old Dominion Council of the Blind. We were one of the parties that were instrumental in moving forward the Virginians with Disabilities Act, which antedated the ADA by some 5 years. Then, of course, we did some advocacy for the ADA, but more particularly, I remember the advocacy we did when it all came to detectable warnings, and we have a metro system, as does San Francisco, I know, but Washington, D.C. has what they call the metro, being very French about it, and boy, there were some battle royals about detectable warnings, and we picketed, we used megaphones, and, the guy who was at the helm of the organization at the time was David Gunn, so I remember, David Gunn, get it done. There is someone who is in Northern California who will remember that very, very well, as the individual was in California at the time. Actually, Jennifer Sutton is whom I'm speaking of, and she'll remember that. So, ACB is doing actually very well with advocacy, and I'm very happy about that, to say the least. Eric has forged some very, very good relationships with entities, particularly in the area of technology. I think perhaps one of the biggest things that's happened since the last convention in Dallas was a partnership with Microsoft, and that came about due to a meeting that was held on November 7th, and WBU was also a part of that, as Mitch knows. But That meeting was prompted by the fact that on July 29th, Microsoft had come out with Windows 10. Windows 10 had some very, very substantial accessibility problems. Its Edge browser was not accessible, and there were also some severe difficulties, as I understand it, with the Outlook, the version of Outlook that comes with Windows 10. There's a limit to how much I can say, but I will say this much. Thanks to the efforts of ACB, in conjunction with some others, and I'll use the word, I would be shocked if Microsoft ever again does something like that. That's advocacy, boys and girls. In a nutshell, that's advocacy, and that's the kind of advocacy we need. I can't stress it enough. I've heard a lot here today, and the same would be the case, I dare say, at any other convention that I would attend. People are concerned about fundraising. People are concerned about how to effectively conduct meetings in an ever more challenging environment with costs, transportation, things of this nature. But in spite of these challenges, and those challenges are formidable, I don't discount them one bit, but we can never lose sight of the need for collective advocacy. And again, I sound like a child of the 60s. I have to commend Mitch for turning me on to a book, or at least making me aware of it, and I read it right around this time last year. It's called Bowling Alone. It's by a Harvard professor. And basically, it sets up the premise that organizations, membership organizations generally, are having a harder time retaining members, that we're just not as much of a volunteer society as we used to be. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if I'm overly concerned if there are less veterans at the VFW imbibing very, very inexpensive drinks. I have to commend them for that. You never have to pay too much at a VFW for a good, you know, for a good drink. I don't care if there are less people at the Moose Lodge or the Raccoon Lodge. Well, I don't think there is one. That's a figment of Jackie Gleason's imagination. You know, with a doff of the cap to Cramden and Norton, you know. But I do very much care if we don't have the critical mass of blind people who are advocating for our needs, our interests. That would be a very problematic situation indeed. So, I'm sure there's other stuff that I have forgotten. I hope not. But perhaps it sets up an opportunity to engage with some questions, if you wish to do that. No questions? Well, while that's happening, I'll take the opportunity to say that I think there's some good movement on our, and I commend Mitch for this as well, the advisory board. We do have an advisory board, and more people are being approached, and I think there's some interest. I don't want to come forward with a name, but somebody even just contacted me today. Actually, it was somebody who's, that my brother has come in contact with, and I don't know where that's going to go. And it's probably premature to say much of anything there, but Mitch had an excellent idea in bringing that forward, getting entree into areas that are important to us. Technology, I can't say enough about the contribution that ACB Link. How many people here have ACB Link? ACB Link? My fellow Arizonan, and he has been there a lot longer than I have. Jeff Bishop brought that to fruition, you know, through his contact, and that's an excellent addition, an excellent, again, tool that we have in the toolbox of outreach to members. You know, very important. Didn't want to forget to mention those two things. Legislatively, as you know, we're pursuing the Cogswell-Macy Act, and there is a call-in, I think, on April 14th. For that event. I'd have to refresh my memory on that, but I quite, again, hopefully leadership list posts of general interest are being distributed to your organization. So, again, be mindful of the fact that on April 14th there will be a push to bring some pressure to bear, which is on that piece of legislation, which is critically important to the blind or visually the education of blind or visually impaired children in the K through 12 arena or setting. Okay.
Oh. May I ask my question now?
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks. This is Bonnie Rennie. In reference to an article by Tony Stevens in the March Forum, and apparently covered in the legislative seminar, it was mentioned, and I'm hoping you have a little more info on this. He mentioned in passing that the DOJ has determined to forego, I think those were his actual words, rulemaking on web accessibility, and that's literally all it said about that, and secondly, other regulations regarding the CVAA. And this should be of great concern to all of us if it literally means what that short sentence said. So what more do you know about it, and do you know anything about how it's being addressed and what we all could do to help? Thanks.
That was a correct statement by Tony Stevens, and at the legislative seminar, one of the priorities that we had and that was spoke that people who went up onto the Hill were asked to speak with their congressmen and senators about was bringing pressure to bear on DOJ to move forward with those regulations. DOJ has indeed declared its intent to punt those until 2018. The blindness community is taking the position, no, we're not, that really isn't going to fly if we have anything to say about it. So the only thing that we can do is have a letter-writing campaign from Congress to bring pressure on DOJ, but pressure is the only thing that can be done. It's called separation of powers, and that's where we are with that. But again, this brings us back to advocacy, and it brings up to mind the point I wanted to make earlier. I mean, there's so many things that really require effective advocacy anymore. Do you think we are anywhere that we need to be with respect to the enforcement of 508? Right? Anybody happy with the state of affairs with Lyft and Uber with respect to guide dogs? Okay. You know, I think it's been said that people mellow as they age, but I tell you the truth, and I'll risk saying it even, you know, with this bully pulpit, I swear as I get older, I get a little bit more radicalized on defending the legitimate rights and interests of blind people. And I think more blind people need to get on that bandwagon. So I hope that answers your question about, you know, we're just trying to get pressure from Congress. Any other questions? Okay, I guess. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, here you go.
Okay. Thank you. It comes to that time. We are to hear from the President Jeff Tom to give his CCB report. Do you have a mic, Jeff?
Flip this. Okay, thank you. So I want to take a couple minutes before I start because rather than do it in a hurry on Sunday, I want to really thank a few people that have really stepped up. But first, I don't know that he's listening this evening. He's had a little more problem doing it at home on his computer than he has the computer at work, which he did it today. But in case he is, and even if he's not, as I said earlier today, for those who may not have been here, Ed Branch, of course, as we know, is not here, but he wanted to send his best to everyone. He truly misses this organization. It's the first time he's missed a convention in, I don't know when, more than 15 years, I'm sure. And so, in case he is listening, let's send out a real big hello, and we miss you, to Ed Branch. He's given tremendous service for a long, long time to this organization, and his sense of loyalty is something that is, you know, just about unparalleled. I want to also thank all the many people who have stepped up to the plate in Ed's absence in various ways. I said this on the board meeting, but many of you weren't there. First, I want to thank our AV guys, Brooks and Ronnie. We asked them if they could step in. They took it, upon themselves to take, an extra day or two off of work. We were able to have them fly up from here, where they live, to Sacramento to drive the van down on Wednesday morning, very early in the morning. That's how Hassett Ed usually does. And then they're going to have to drive the van back on Sunday and then go back to work Monday afternoon. So these guys are just really, oh, man. And they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off, doing things that they normally do plus things they don't normally do. I want to, give a special thank you to others, to Debbie Obregon for her, asking, hey, what can I do, and helping with door prizes, to others who have helped at registration, that don't normally do that. Debbie Cordero is at registration. I want to give a special thanks to Mary Lou for just shouldering even more responsibility than she normally has to, and knowing the difficult circumstances in which we were in. So, that everybody has really stepped up to the plate to make this work. We've done a great job of replacing someone who was hard to replace. So we've made it work. Okay, so it's kind of like deja vu all over again, as I guess Yogi Berra would have put it. 6 years ago, or more like five and a half, I was at the podium in some city or other. I'm sure those of you with better memories will tell me where that city was, giving a president's report to wrap up my first go-round as your president. And now here I am wrapping up what's going to be my final rodeo in that position. At our 2015 conference and convention, I gave what, for me anyway, was a bit of a fire and brimstone address. The major theme of my remarks was essentially, united we stand, divided we fall. I'm going in a different direction this evening, but I urge you, as we elect our new leadership in a few moments, to take the lesson of unity to heart. We risk losing far too much in the months and years to come if we don't work together for the betterment of this organization and for all Californians who are blind or who have low vision. In fact, I want to spend most of my time this evening, maybe about an hour or two. There you go. Talking to an empty room, Gabe says. That's right. Most of my time looking at how much we risk losing by examining just how much we are doing to serve the population of blind and low vision individuals. If I mentioned everything and everyone, you would definitely tar and feather me for taking so long. And so I'm only going to dwell on some of the high points. It's been mentioned several times during the course of this convention that believe it and achieve it is just a great theme to describe how much CCB does for Californians with vision impairments. And I totally agree. Despite the internal obstacles that we need to overcome, membership and fundraising being right at the top of the list, we have refused to let that stop us in our work to improve opportunities for persons who are blind or low vision. It is the California Council of the Blind that is leading the way in preserving and enhancing our right to vote privately and independently, and to access all, rather than just some, election-related information. Individuals such as Donna and Mitch Pomerantz, Gene Lozano, Margie Donovan, Artis Bazin, Linda Johnson, and many others are working hard on these issues. SSI, you heard earlier Mitch talking about AB 1584. It is very likely that this year you will actually see the first very modest increase in SSI benefits in a from the state program in many, many years. The governor is finally, you know, bowing to the pressure that a large coalition called Californians for SSI has been putting on him and the legislature for many years. And who is the one organization that is active in that coalition? Of course, we are the one blindness organization that works very hard in that area. The Department of Rehabilitation's BAC committee has been pretty feisty lately in terms of doing its best to hold the department's feet to the fire on various issues. There are several impressive advocates on that committee, but nobody gets it more done than Mitch Pomerantz. Guide dog issues. Is there any doubt after what you heard a few minutes ago that the work of GDUC, Guide Dog Users of California, and specifically the advocacy efforts of Margie Donovan and others in Sacramento have made CCB the leader in advocating on behalf of guide dog handlers? Even in those areas where I think we need to do more, such as education, we are still the organization that steps up to the plate when the need arises. In 2014, it was CCB who first went to the governor and legislative leadership when funding for Braille and large print books for kindergarten through eighth grade students was in jeopardy. And yes, Wynne Downing was certainly proud of that effort. And of course, I haven't even mentioned our work in a number of other areas, such as library services and other things, when the legislature puts the funding for those items in jeopardy. There's also our work with structured negotiation settlements, which continues, such as Rite Aid in the prescription drug labeling area, Kaiser Permanente in the healthcare arena, and many, many more, not to mention audio description in theaters, which is currently ongoing. When you combine the advocates within our organization with the outstanding attorneys with whom we work, including Lainey Feingold and Linda Dardarian, Michael Nunez, Lisa Ells with their great law firm of Rosen, Bean, and Galvin, and disability rights advocates, we are truly blessed to have great advocates and attorneys in this organization. But it isn't just our advocacy that we can't afford to lose. We have been so fortunate to have Jean Lozano, with the able assistance of many others, put on a string of absolutely incredible conventions. Let's have another huge round of applause. Look at the amazing topics that we've covered over the years. And you know, it is really hard in these times when it's getting more and more difficult to, you know, get the rates we want and get all we want. And yet, Gene and others just continue time after time to make these conventions something that are very attractive to come to. We can be proud of our crisis funding, both through our crisis committee chaired by Christy Crespin and the Ellen Murphy Fund for women 50 and over, chaired by Kathy Skivers. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kathy's listening to this right now. In fact, I was talking to Kathy shortly after Wynne's death, and she said, you know, we got to get out there and raise funds for all of our crisis committee programs. How about our employment loans given out by the CEA committee, which Mitch chairs? Or our ABLE scholarship work under the chairmanship of Robert Wendt. I believe we gave out over 15 scholarships last year, right around there. And of course, we want to thank Active Blind Incorporated for funding some of those awards. How about the BC and all the great work done by the Publications Committee, chaired by Linda, along with BC editor Judy Wilkinson? I don't see why you can't be editor. You're just going to be president, maybe, or something like that. Not to mention the website work performed by that great cadre of volunteers under the leadership of Vita Zavali. Last, but far from least, I haven't even mentioned everything that gets done at the local chapter level and at the committee level. Committee chairs, like Pam Pology, who has done such good work on nominations and credentials. Chapters like the San Francisco chapter and their scholarship program, the Fresno chapter. Wasn't that a great interview that we had with the Fresno chapter in terms of some of the things that they have been doing, dining in the dark? We have a tremendous amount to be proud of in this organization. For all these reasons and more, CCB is the most important organization in California of consumers who are blind or who have low vision. Likewise, for all of these reasons, we cannot afford to see this organization slowly deteriorate and our advocacy and other services on behalf of those with vision loss diminish. We must redouble our advocacy efforts and be ready to make a phone call or send an email when asked to do so. We must support our newly elected leadership, who will assume office in July. In addition, we will soon be circulating a recruitment announcement to select an executive director who will start in the fall. We must give that person our support, because an executive director will enable us to undertake many new initiatives and free up the president to engage in better leadership efforts. We have a lot to do in other ways as well. A strong organization will make the job of the president and of the executive director even easier to perform. And to become stronger, we must support our fundraising efforts. And I'm not asking you to give more and more of your own money. You are all limited in what you have. What I do mean is to raise money in other ways. And one of them is our major fundraiser, the Mutt-Strut. We are planning another November event, as most of you now know, La Crescenta Park. We are fortunate first to have this event co-chaired by Donna Pomerantz and Debbie Cordero, and second to have tremendous community support for that event. For those of you in Southern California, it is important to have you participate, not only to raise money, but also to show all the sighted runners and walkers and dog owners who will also be there who we are and what we can do. But for those of us not able to attend in person for whatever reason, we need to make this event work as well by either donating to participants or, even better, becoming virtual walkers and raising money ourselves. I don't know how many people I talk to that say, I just don't know how to raise money. It's hard. It's really scary for me. Well, it isn't rocket science. And yes, it does take a little work, but we can give you the tools, whether via online or the old U.S. mail. I don't know how many of you know, but one of the Sacramento's top dog for a couple of years, Tahoe raised most of her money by the snail mail effort. So it can be done. It doesn't even have to be done with a computer. what it comes down to is that if this organization is to continue to thrive, you need to stretch your comfort zone. We all do. And we all need to do some things we never thought we could. Finally, it is up to each one of us to do what we can to ensure we don't lose local chapter and statewide affiliate members and to recruit new members. So yes, there is far too much at stake for the California Council of the Vine to fade slowly into the sunset. However, we can remain strong, and we will continue to be the leading organization of people who are blind or who have low vision if we take to heart the theme of this convention, if we merely believe it and achieve it. Thank you very much.
Okay. First of all, are there any questions that maybe for President Tom? Any hands raised up? Nope. Okay. Okay.
This is Christy Crespin, and I'm wondering if I missed, I know during the board meeting there was a discussion of something that's supposed to be discussed on Sunday morning, and I'm wondering if that was addressed.
I announced it earlier this evening.
Thank you.
Yeah. I announced that there will be the entertainment of a motion as the first item of business for the removal from the board of Charles Navarrete. So that motion will be entertained at right after an invocation, so around 8:30 or whatever.
Okay. And I would like to say, as the outgoing first vice president, it's been an honor serving you, and I wish to thank you for the support over the years. And I will not be as actively as involved, but I still will be available if asked to give input, particularly in the area of conference and convention matters. I ask that you give the support and the commitment that you gave me to the new officers that are coming in. And they will need that support. Like I've said before, there is major changes the organization has been going through. The conference convention is only one of many others. We have a lot of, it's a turning point in the organization. And we need to stick together and support the people that we elect. So thank you very much. And I look forward to talking to you later. Thank you. Oh, okay. I got it. Okay. Oh, you're telling them now. Hey, now, we have a big door prize. And this is just since you've been all good this evening, and a major door prize. It's a quilt. And I'll have somebody give the details. Debbie probably give the details, who it came from, that donated it to us, and spend all these hours to do it. And then I will turn it over to Jeff to begin the elections. So,
Debbie? We're looking into this quilt. Do you know who it's made by? Oh, she's okay. Mary Lou's going to get her name for us.
Okay, and then okay. Maybe a description of it, too.
Yeah, let's see what Mary Lou finds out.
It's Kathy Berman, I think, that made the quilt.
Oh, it's from Sacramento.
Okay,
yeah.
Here comes Mary Lou. She's
Kathy Berman.
Kathy Berman. Okay.
It is beautiful.
Okay. She's opening the bag right now so she can describe it to us.
We're opening it up to get a description.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
It's various colors of blues and greens and purples and white. It's beautifully done. Good job.
Which Pam? Pam, are you around? Claudia? Jeff?
Your report. Do you have it in Braille by any chance or something?
He needs your credentials report. Do you have it in Braille? Okay. So if you can bring it up. This is, Jeff will need it for the lecture. And Debbie, thank you very much this evening.
I mean, but before we do that.
Yes.
Here
you are.
We have to put Gene as like emperor or maybe grand vizier, something, you know, some title or other. Grand poobah, yeah, there you go. I like that. I like that. That's a good one. Czar. We'll make him the czar. Okay, we have to do the first reading of the constitutional amendment, so we'll do that before the election starts, and we'll turn it over to the chair of that committee, Gabe Griffin.
All right, bear with me a little bit. My fingers are still trying to get back in shape from being sick, and a couple of months ago I couldn't even feel Braille at all. So, thank you. All right. Whereas, oh wait, sorry, wrong committee. Okay, this is going to be, as Jeff said, the first reading of the amendment. So it's a read only, no discussion. We'll have the second reading on Sunday morning, and we can discuss it as much as allowed. It's Article 8.9, and the current language is... Section 8.9. Each chapter shall elect a delegate... who is a current voting member of the chapter to attend council conventions and cast the chapter's vote. The chapter may also elect an alternate delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter. The chapter shall provide its delegate and alternate delegate with a credential. Such credential must be submitted to the council president and secretary, care of the CCB office at least 30 days prior to each CCB convention. No credential of a delegate or alternate delegate may be accepted unless the annual dues of the chapter seeking to be represented are paid along with the roster of, or I'm sorry, roster as required in section 8.7, and the officer information sheet required in the bylaws. So the action that we are proposing, or that's being proposed, is to delete the words at least 30 days prior to each CCB convention, and it would be replaced with the wording no later than February 15th. So the new language would read, again, section 8.9, each chapter shall elect a delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter to attend. To attend council conventions and cast the chapter's vote. The chapter may also elect an alternate delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter. The chapter shall provide its delegate and alternate delegate with a credential. Such credential must be submitted to the council president and secretary, care of the CCB office, no later than February 15th. No credential of a delegate or alternate delegate may be accepted unless the annual dues of the chapter seeking to be represented are paid, along with the roster as required in section 8.7 and the officer information sheet required in the bylaws.
Thank you.
All right, and I will turn it back over to President Tom and speak with you guys all later. Do you need this mic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So anyway, you will be voting on that constitutional amendment on Sunday. All right. Yes, Gabe's leaving, he says. That's right. Okay, now. Oh, hang on. Yes, Gabe, you want to announce the location of resolutions this evening?
All right, resolutions will be meeting a little while, 10, 15 minutes or so, after the close of elections in the Manzanita boardroom, which is down on the first floor. It's right near where the CCB registration table is.
Okay, so we will now turn to the election for the next two-year terms. And first will be the office of president. The nominations committee has placed in nomination the name of Judy Wilkinson. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? And for a final time, are there any other nominations? Yes. There's a motion and a second that nominations be closed and Judy be elected by acclamation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, abstentions, and Judy is our newly elected president. Get a mic to Judy.
And now for my 30-minute inaugural address. I want to remind you of the wonderful election slogan of our president. What was that slogan? Yes, we can. That has three words in it. I want you to notice the yes part, the can part, and the we part. So, my friends and colleagues, yes, we can. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay. The next office is that of First Vice President. The Nominations Committee has placed into nomination the name of Frank Welty. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? And for a final time, are there any other nominations? There's a motion and a second that nominations be closed and Frank Welty be elected first vice president by acclamation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? And Frank Welty is our newly elected first vice president.
Thank you for your support this evening. I will do my best to fulfill my obligations as a member of this leadership team. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we move to our final officer slot. And that is, it is not. I just remember that. In fact, we will move now to the office of Second Vice President, which has been vacated and will be vacated as of July 1 anyway, due to the election of Judy Wilkinson. And so now, nominations are open for the office of Second Vice President. Yes. The name of Gabe Griffith has been nominated. Gabe, do you accept? He does. Okay. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? And for a final time, are there any other nominations for the office of Second Vice President? There's a motion and a second that Gabe Griffith be elected second vice president by acclamation. All in favor say aye. All opposed, abstentions, yes. Going to give him that mic?
People around here are saying you guys don't know who I am, but maybe you'll learn. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for Vita for nominating me, and thank you for everybody else for supporting that. I have enjoyed being around CCB. I've been off the board for a few years, but I look forward to being back and doing the work. And if anybody has any questions or anything that I can help with, my contact information is all over the place, so get a hold of me.
Yes, and Gabe will carry on Mitch's tradition, except in a different way. With Mitch, it was a radio, and with Gabe will be the At-Bat, the app that will stay on during convention. Okay. That's right. Treasurer. The office of treasurer is now up, and we have in nomination from the committee the name of Peter Pardini. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? And for a final time, are there any other nominations? Almost didn't get that spit out there, did you? There's a motion to second that Peter be elected by acclamation. All those in favor say aye. All opposed, abstentions, Peter Pardini is reelected to the office of treasurer.
Thank you very much, you guys. I really appreciate you reelecting me for my fourth and final term as treasurer of the California Council of the Blind. Just to remind you that we will be calling on each and every one to do their part to help support the best blindness organization in the state of California, the California Council of the Blind.
Yeah. He's going to call in the leg breaker, so you better get ready. Okay. We are now ready for the board of directors, and the first name placed in nomination is that of Paul Patchy Jr. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? And for a final time, are there any other nominations? Would somebody just make that motion so we can elect him? Please? All right, I'll say it's done. There has been a motion that that Mr. Patchy Jr. be elected by acclamation. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. Abstentions? All right. Re-election of Paul Patchy Jr.
I want to say thank you to everyone for electing me, and I wish to continue serving you guys best I can for the next 2 years, and I look forward to all the changes that are coming to this organization and hope for a bright future. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. We now go to our second board position of four. The name was placed by the nominations committee of Charlene Ornelas. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? And for a final time, are there any other nominations? There's a motion that Charlene Ornelas be elected by acclamation. All those in favor say aye. All opposed? Abstentions? It is done. Charlene Ornelas is elected.
I want to thank everybody, and I look forward to serving on the board.
Thank you. All right. The next person is the board of the nominations committee, has placed into nomination the name of Patricia Bogard for director. Are there any other nominations? Yes. The name of you don't need a second. The name of Margie, I'm going to quiet you down if it's the last thing I do. The name of Rob Turner has been placed into nomination. Are there any other nominations?
Yes, do you accept Rob? Wait a minute. Rob, do you accept? Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, who was the other nominee that was just? Okay, sorry about that. All right, she's already nominated. I thought that's what I heard. Are there any other nominations? And for a final time, are there any other nominations? There's a motion. Is there a second? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Abstentions, okay. Now, we have two nominees. We have Patricia Bogard. Do you want to be Patricia or Pat? Just so that I, either one. Well, Pat's quicker, I'll say that. Pat Bogard and Rob Turner. When you get your ballot, and we'll now have ballots passed out, you will leave the ballot without any tear if you vote for Pat Bogard. You have one, yes. Oh, God, where am I? See, I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here none too fast, am I? We need to have seconding speeches. I was trying to shortcut the election, wasn't I? Pat, who are your two seconders? Do you have two people to give speeches for you, or one, or what? I'm sorry? No, they don't have, well, for ballots they do. Okay, Joseph Lopez is going to give your seconding speech. And Rob, how about you? Okay, and John Glass is going to give your seconding speech. So we will start with Pat Bogard and Joseph Lopez. You have up to 5 minutes for your seconding speech.
Okay, good evening, everybody. I will try to keep it short. I've known Pat for quite some time, and she's really come a long ways, and I know she will do a good job. And as you know, I'm kind of like the watchdog, so I've watched her, what she has done in the past, and I think she'll do a good job for this organization, and this is all I have to say.
All right, thank you very much. Oh, here's my badge. Now we will turn it over to John Glass for Rob Turner's seconding speech. And you have up to 5 minutes.
Okay, Jeff, thank you very much. I've known Rob for, 25 years now. And let me give you a little bit of background on Rob, just so that you can get an idea of who he is and what he's about. Rob grew up in Southern California and attended the Francis Blend Elementary School. He received his BA in psychology from the California State University, Northridge. Rob has been a member of our organization since 1970, and in the early 70s, Rob served as the president of the student affiliate. Rob got a computer programming job in Northern California, and when he moved north, he joined the San Francisco chapter and served as its president for a year in the early 80s. He then moved back down to Southern California and served as president for the Glendale Burbank chapter around 2004. I don't know the exact year, but I remember it was back about then. And then, believe it or not, Rob moved back to Northern California one more time. And Since he's been in Northern California, he served as president of the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, which is my home chapter, for 4 years. Rob has had a variety of careers, including computer programming, access technology training and technical support, and he currently lives in Sunnyvale, which is in the Silicon Valley, of course, and he works as a quality assurance engineer at Benetech in Palo Alto. He focuses on the Bookshare library and website. For relaxation, Rob and his fiance Alice enjoy many outdoor activities, including hiking, kayaking, and swimming. They also play audio darts, have been at some of the tournaments that I'm sure you folks are aware of, and they have fun solving word puzzles. Rob is a ham radio operator and enjoys reading all kinds of Braille and talking books. And let's see, Rob has a daughter who lives in Ventura, and she works as an attorney. Rob's been very actively involved with BRLC and other affiliates here in CCB. So that's what I have to tell you about Rob Turner. I think he's a great guy, and I hope that you'll give him your vote this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, seconders. So we will now be passing out ballots. I don't know. Have you started passing the ballots out yet? I will, but have the ballots been passed? Okay, they are beginning to pass the ballots out. And I got a little ahead of myself, as I tend to do. My wife would say it's just typical of my absence of brain power, but... she's not laughing out there either. She's just... So... if you want to vote for Pat Bogard, please do not do anything to your ballot but turn it in. Pure, pristine ballot. If you want to vote for Rob Turner, please make one tear on the ballot. One corner off of the ballot. Pretty simple, even for me. So, we're getting all the ballots passed out. And we will do the delegate vote after we get the ballots passed out and collected and all that, because we don't want too many people trying to run around and do that. And at least we're not going to go to midnight, I don't think.
Is that a promise?
I said, I don't think. Gene was trying to make me promise that. Who's got the score of the game out there? Oh, okay.
Do you want us to just tell him to pass it to the middle aisle? Is that what you
mean? For the ballots?
Yeah.
Yes. So when you have got your ballot and done with it, yeah, we need ballots up here. Thank you. When you've got, pass it to the middle aisle, and it will be collected. Either that, or do you want to? What do you want to do? Want to come around to collect them, or have them pass them in, Brooks? Yes. Brooks, you want them to pass them to the middle? Okay, pass them to the middle aisle. So it's 2-2? Oh, it's over. Who hit the home run? All right. Those UCLA guys know how to hit.
Peter, pass your ballot down, I guess. Or, well, no, they can collect ours just individually, I guess. Yep, there's mine. You got a ballot down there to turn in? Gene, did he get your ballot?
Yeah, it's already taken care
of. Okay. Has everybody's ballot, if you have a ballot still, raise your hand so we can make sure we get them all collected. We'll have a door prize when we're done. We'll do it when we're done with the vote. Okay. Shall we do the standing the delegate vote and then count everything? Peter? All right. Let's get ready for the. Let's do the delegate vote instead of making everybody sit the whole time, and we'll do a guard prize after that. So Brooks, why don't you tell them on the mic here where you want. For the delegate vote. We'll start that right now.
I don't understand. What do you mean go?
Where do you want them to stand? Or do you want to take...
just go in
you
the
want
to
just stand up?
Wherever they are. I mean, we don't want to really be...
Well, no, I'll have... If you're a delegate, you can just stand up where you are. And then
all right. When I announce your
chapter,
that's what we'll do. When I announce your chapter, since we have mics running around, when I announce your chapter, if you're the delegate, obviously, stand up and we will get you with the mic and cast your vote. We will start with capital chapter. I should say ACB capital chapter. The delegate is Margie Donovan, and votes are 8.
Okay, this is Joni Patchy. And we have 6 votes for Rob and 2 votes for Pat.
6 votes Turner, 2 votes Bogard. Okay, we have Active Blind Inland Valley. The delegate is Kelly Hill. The votes are 5.
5 votes, Rob Turner.
5 votes, Rob Turner. The next chapter is Bayview. The delegate is Steve Fort. The votes are 10.
10 votes, Rob Turner.
10 votes, Turner. The next chapter is Braille Revival League of California. The delegate is, well, the alternate, Linda Perel, I guess. What I've got here, yes. Linda Perel, the votes are 5.
5 votes for Rob Turner.
Turner, 5 votes. The next chapter is California Citizens with Low Vision. The delegate is Donna Sanchez, 5 votes.
2.5 for Turner and 2.5 for Vogel.
2.5 Bogard, 2.5 Turner. And Peter, if you're not keeping up, let me know. Okay. California Library Users of California, the delegate is Judy Wilkinson. The votes are 5.
Kahlua proudly casts its 5 votes for its member, Rob Turner.
5 votes, Turner. Contra Costa Chapter, the delegate is Gabe Griffith, whoever he might be. Votes are 5.
Contra Costa Chapter cast 5 votes for Rob Turner.
5 votes, Turner. the East Los Angeles chapter, the alternate is Stephanie Rude, and the number of votes is 7.
7, Turner.
7 for Turner. Fresno chapter, the delegate is Sarah Harris, and they have 5 votes.
Fresno chapter proudly gives 5 votes to Mr. Robert Turner.
5 votes, Turner. Glendale Burbank chapter, the delegate is Artis Bazin, and they have 5 votes. 5 votes, Turner. Greater Long Beach chapter, Robert Wendt is the delegate, 5 votes.
I think he needs a rest after running the mic back here. Three votes for Rob Turner and 2 votes for Pat.
2 votes, Bogard. 3 votes, Turner. Greater Los Angeles chapter, Ken Metz is the delegate, and 5 votes.
5 votes, Turner.
5 votes, Turner. Guide Dog Users of California, the delegate is Vivian Younger, 5 votes.
5 votes for Rob.
5 votes, Turner. Inland Empire chapter, the delegate is Christine Bailey, and they have 5 votes.
5 votes for Pat.
5 votes, Bogard. Orange County chapter, the delegate is Gail Crossan, and they have 5 votes.
5 votes, Bogard.
5 votes, Bogard. San Bernardino chapter, the delegate is Deborah Gossett, and they have 8 votes. Wait a minute, hold on, I'm going to check that. Yes, they have 8 votes.
San Bernardino chapter, 8 votes, Rob Turner.
8 votes, Turner. San Diego Braille Club chapter, Joseph Lopez is delegate, 5 votes. 5 votes, Bogard. San Diego chapter, the delegate is Patty Davis, and they have 5 votes. 5 votes. Do we have Patty Davis in the room?
You could raise your hand. We're not really sure who's who.
Apparently not. So we will pass on that. We'll go to San Francisco chapter. Frank Welty is the delegate. 6 votes.
This is Lorraine Theveny, San Francisco chapter alternate. 6 votes, Rob Turner.
6 votes, Turner. San Gabriel Valley chapter, the delegate is Bill Berry, and they have 10 votes.
10 votes for Pat Bogard.
10 votes, Bogard. Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, the delegate is Alice McGrath, and they have 17 votes.
Silicon Valley proudly gives 17 votes to Rob Turner.
17 votes, Turner. Yosemite Gateway chapter, the delegate is Tanya Williams, and 7 votes. Is it 7 votes, Turner? Okay, 7 votes, Turner. That concludes the roll call vote, and we will let our counters count the vote. Okay, I don't know if the count, if we have enough people to do the door prize or not. Well, no, we have people. We have people out there. I don't know that. Whether we have someone to grab it and identify and all that. Debbie, can we give away some money? Or are you busy? All right, we're gonna be doing a door prize. Debbie is on it. Sorry. Okay, another door prize from Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. It's $25 and candy. That'll make somebody sweeter in more ways than one. Keo Campini, are you here? No, we'll draw again. I remember her. Gail Crossan, are you here? So we're going to do one more? Or was that, oh no, that was the one she won. Yeah. We have a result, Peter. We're getting close. We're getting close.
Okay. Bogart had a Pat Bogart had a total of 51.5 votes. Rob Turner, 162.5. Rob Turner is elected
all right.
To the board of directors.
Let's get a mic to Mr. Turner.
Well, thanks for electing me, and I'm sure going to do my best, and I'm looking forward to some good hard work.
Hey, thank you, Rob. Okay, we are on our last board position. The name put into nomination by the committee is that of Gail Crossan. Are there any other nominations? And for a final time, are there any other nominations? There is a motion and a second that Gail Crossan be elected by acclamation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Abstentions. And Gail, you are elected. Let's get a mic to Gail.
I don't believe this is happening, actually. I'm very thankful for the support and the confidence that you have expressed toward me. I pray that I will be worthy of it at the end of 2 years and look forward to working with some really outstanding people. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Gail. Okay, just remember that the session is adjourned till Sunday morning. at 8:30. Remember to, you know, support our exhibitors, to come to our tracks tomorrow. A reminder, if you're going to track 2, represented by Linda Johnson, that the doors will close on that track due to the confidentiality of it at 1:35, so you need to be there promptly if you want to participate. Yes, certainly. Peter has an announcement. And
basically, we still have tickets available for the lunches tomorrow and the banquet. Please purchase your tickets at the CCB registration desk. Thank you very much.
Any other announcements before we adjourn? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.